Hi,
this
point.
is Jen with Women Walking and Talking, and I'm super stoked to be here today. I am with
Carol Jean with From the Heart Productions, and my daughter, Carol Joyce.
Yes, and I'm here, a board member of From the Heart, and we have also a beautiful guest that's with us today, Branwyn Edwards.
And I'm just visiting from London, so I'll be quiet.
But she's walking and talking with this beautiful community that we have here. So, Carol Jean? Yes.
Well, years ago, I ran a company, another lifetime, where I started out buying raw stock left over from motion pictures.
I saw that.
When we had 35 millimeter and 16 millimeter film stock. And I found a market, the emerging market, which was the Cassavetes, the Roger Cormans, and I was selling to them. I then took on videotape, became the largest distributor in the United States for recycled tape, moved into new tape, became Fuji and Maxell's top distributor for a new product, and then sold my business. But in the meantime, around the 1992, I started From the Heart Productions, a nonprofit dedicated to supporting and nurturing filmmakers. And I ran that with the assistance of my whole company. We had an office in L.A., Chicago, New York. We had about 100 employees.
Wow.
So that started with a $20
dollar. I saw that. Didn't you borrow it from your husband at the time?
Grocery money.
Yes, I saw
to
that.
Take it out of the grocery bag.
I read that. I thought, this is my kind of woman.
He said, you'll never get anyone to buy film that doesn't come from
Kodak. Yeah, he thought it was crazy, right?
He was absolutely wrong.
Yeah, you know? Look at you.
So anyway, the film business was really great. I loved every minute of it. But I was always two steps away from the filmmakers. They'd never let them in my office because I would give them the film.
Yeah.
So they protected me. But anyway, so at the end, when I had sold my business, I was looking for something to do with the rest of my life.
Sure.
And the man who was handling the film grant, I had given him the grant I started in 1992. My father, Roy Dean, had a lot of friends in the film industry.
Wow.
He came to work for me after he retired from the Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was a listener, and people would come in and talk to Roy. Mm-hmm. And if they bought a 100-foot roll or 50,000 feet of film, he gave them the same time and attention.
Wow.
So the students loved him. The indie filmmakers loved him. Robert Townsend was who came to buy film one time.
Wow.
And he said, where's your credit card? I want to use my credit card. And I said, well, we never have that done that before, but we'll get it for you. And that's how he made his film.
Wow.
His first film.
That's incredible.
So we had a lot of fun times selling film to who now are the top directors of photography.
Of course.
Because when they started, they worked on very low budget films. So I'd sell the company and then find that I've given the grant away to a man who had worked in my company, and he got another job. Said, I'm out of here, and just dropped it all on my desk right at the end of a grant cycle.
Uh-huh.
So I was stuck with all the work.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I thought, what the heck am I doing? This is my life.
Yeah, so you took an experience that you thought, I don't even know what to do with this, and then flipped it and found your passion.
My passion.
Your next step.
Because when I sold the business, everybody said, well, you know, you started with a $20 bill, you built it up to almost $10 million a year in sales. And that was a great achievement. Congratulations. I said, no, I haven't done what I came here to do. So it's the grant. And then Carol comes along, and she's about 15 now, and we're looking at this grant thing, and she jumps in with both feet.
Right.
So together we have really built a nice nonprofit to support and nurture filmmakers.
Off of something that you thought could be a complete disaster and thinking, no, I mean, it could have been, right?
Yes.
It could have turned into like, I don't know what to do with this, and just shove it aside. right? Right. But you took it, you grabbed it, you ran with it, and now you love it. And look what you've done with it.
I do. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Well, that's what we wanted to cover. So I'm going to pass it to Carol to tell you about
one of our films. So, that we're very passionate about. So you know, we've been doing this for 30 years. And so every day when we nurture and support filmmakers, we speak to them every day. And we see what their passion is and what they're working on. And we really encourage them to get really quiet, listen to God, and hear from God what they really want to do, what makes them passionate, what the voice in their side of themselves says to do, to move their passion and their mission forward. So one of our filmmakers has a film called Prodigal Daughter. It's her true story of what happened in her life. And what happened was she lived in a very dysfunctional family. She grew up in New Mexico, and they opened up a strip joint just down the street from her house. She could just walk there, and pretty much she was lured into working there just as a waitress, and the next thing you know, she was a stripper, and they were giving her all this money, and she was going down the wrong path. And her mother was very connected to God, very spiritual, and she heard one day, the mother heard in the voice, if you go to work today, prepare to meet your maker, because you will not be coming back. So she knew her mother was really connected to God, so she listened. She didn't go to work, but she went there the next day, and there was tape all around, and somebody had done a drive-by shooting right at the time she would have gone to work. So she would have died. And then
I just got the goosebumps.
Yes. So then God started calling her back to the church and giving her a prophecy, and the fact that people were praying over her, saying, you know, you can pull out of that situation and you can go back to being a businesswoman. And even though she wasn't, she didn't go to school and she wasn't educated, and she had an alcoholic family member and all of that. But she picked up her heels. She pulled herself out of that situation, and she went off to be very successful in business. And then she came back and she did a Jericho march, because God spoke to her and said, go back and do a Jericho march around the club. So she marched around the club 7 times with a couple of her girlfriends, you know, just like walking and talking here today.
Yes.
And, it was just, they could feel, everybody was looking, and she said she could just feel the energy shift and the earth shake. And
fantastic.
They shut down the place 2 days later.
Oh.
And then it burnt down.
No.
So she's been actively bringing the prodigals home. That's the mission this year. That everybody's
the film.
Saying.
The film.
No, actually, everybody in the churches are all saying it's now time to bring the prodigals home.
Okay.
The churches are working very closely with the family. So if they do have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter in their family, the church is helping them, give the family the strength to pull them out of the bad situation they're in, and then help get help, and then bring them back to their home, wherever that is, physically, and their heart, and their communication. So that's what this mission is about, this film. And all these amazing things have been happening, like supernatural doors have been opening. People are like getting us appointments with major celebrities and stars, and somebody just called up and said, I saw this and I have to give you the money. I'm going to give you the money. So we just love, watching how
God moves, how the universe moves, how this whole thing is bringing people together.
Right, and God speaks to people in their heads, and they say, I have to be a part of it.
And they listen.
And they listen.
And
so
obey.
The name of the film is?
Prodigal Daughter.
Prodigal Daughter. Is that out now, or is that?
It's not out now.
It's still in production?
It's in the hands of From the Heart.
Okay.
So what we do is we nurture and support the filmmaker, and the fact that we make sure that we get all the materials done, and make sure they have all their legal documents, and build up the package in a way that they're protected, that nobody can kind of steal it from them. And then, so we assemble them with a team that they can trust.
Which is their funding information we help them with.
Also.
Yes.
Through the grants.
Through the grants. So people donate. So people have been donating to Prodigal Daughter.
Yes, but this is separate from the grant. That is the sponsorship side. Why don't you explain that?
This is fiscal sponsorship.
Thank you.
So what we do is we answer the phone.
Oh my
We're not
gosh.
AI. We're real people here. Yeah. So we answer the phone. We listen to you. We have a heartfelt connection.
Okay.
And then we work with them and teach them and mentor them on how to raise money for their
films. Oh, to keep going so she can spread her story.
So she can spread her story. So.
Okay.
Do you want to chime in a little bit more?
Well, yes. She's dedicated. And yes. When you get her on the phone, her enthusiasm is like a 10.
Yeah.
And those are the people we like to put our energy great. Behind
yes.
because you know they're going to get the film made.
Yes, they are.
And so she's a great person because she's dedicated to this project. And it's a big budget. It's a $5 million budget. But they are not daunted by that because they feel they get the money.
Yes.
So this takes a lot of faith.
Yes.
To make a Christian film takes faith, mm-hmm. but to raise that kind of money is also something you have to really believe in.
Yes.
Mom wrote an article years ago called Faith Funds Films.
Okay.
But until you start building your own relationship with God, listening and acting mm-hmm. on the voice and what you're being called to do,
right.
That's right. the missing link,
right.
is to not do what other people tell you, kind of connect with yourself, do it, and then work with somebody like from mm-hmm. the heart that can say, yes, that's the right direction, keep going,
yes.
and just kind of ski down the mountain with you as you're going along the way. Did you want to talk about another film? Or
yes, we do. Let's go to the ABCs of
great
book banning, right?
Okay.
It is shocking. And we're so happy because we are the fiscal sponsor. They work through us, and we've been helping them raise money. Right now,
uh-huh.
they're nominated for short documentary for an Academy
okay.
Award.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's...
How often do you see that of something that you've helped along
well,
the way?
Well, this... A lot of the... We have seen... We've won Emmys.
I was going to say, I bet you've seen a lot.
yeah. Oh, award winning is common. But getting to the top is not always...
I'm just like blown away. Sorry, I'm like... That's just crazy that I'm sitting here or, you know, speaking to you guys. And you're like, oh, that's common.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
I mean, just, you know, from our
experience.
It's a humble office.
You're acting like it's nothing. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
No,
like,
this
so cool.
Is,
it's
this,
so cool.
We get to enjoy mm-hmm. all this. Trish and uh-huh. Lessig.
Okay.
And she and Nazette Hasbuck.
Okay.
They both produced it. Trish was the director, along with Sheila Nevins, co-directed. Now,
okay.
Sheila came from HBO. She was there for years. She's the goddess of
wow.
documentaries
okay.
that she chose for HBO.
Okay.
She's now with MTV. So while they're both making other films, they took
uh-huh.
the time to work, these three women,
mm-hmm.
and they made this incredible film. Brandy watched it with me.
I loved it. And I was staggered.
Oh.
Books that were normal in my childhood
mm-hmm.
have been banned.
Yeah.
I mean, it was extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
So they started with an old woman. I can
okay.
say that because she was 100 years old.
Oh, wow.
Climbing a set of stairs
uh-huh.
to sit down at a microphone and say, my husband died in 1943
mm-hmm.
in the war, and he was fighting for freedom of expression and books. And books should not be banned. The Germans were burning and banning books, and we should not be doing that. And then these women
mm-hmm.
went to schools, and it was, 8 to 11 years?
Yeah, mm-hmm. 8 to 11.
And they were intelligent, creative young people, and they gave them some of the banned books and said, read these books and tell us what you think. Well, their children were appalled.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we have this knowledge? You're mm-hmm. taking knowledge away from us, one young child said.
Uh-huh.
And the other said, this isn't fair. We need to know how the world works. We need to know who these people are, because one of the books was about a gay couple,
uh-huh.
two guys that adopted a child. And this young man said, but they deserve to do that.
Yeah.
They're good parents. What's
yeah.
the matter with them? You know, what's
yeah,
like,
these
what's
are
the matter
kids
with
saying,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
You won't let me read this book?
Oh.
It was delightful. And mm-hmm. what is so interesting, having seen so many films, is the simplicity. She started with the woman yes. talking, and she closed with the woman talking, because the woman had spent the whole year uh-huh. making a quilt, showing all these books banned books.
That had been banned.
Mm-hmm. To not let us ever forget where we are in time right now right. and how important that is.
And so, remind me the name of that film?
ABCs of
okay.
book burning.
Banning.
Sorry. No, you're good.
We're good.
We love books. We you can say that. Yes. House is full of books. So when we saw, Brandy and I saw the Nazis. This is footage that she got.
Actual footage.
Actual footage of Nazis burning books.
And this is out now? Or did you
yes.
just get a sneak
It's out
peek?
Now.
Okay.
And it's nominated for short documentary.
Okay.
Mm. In that category.
The ABCs of book banning.
Okay.
Yeah. Gosh. Anyway, we do two things. We support people and teach them to raise money, mm-hmm. and we look at their paperwork and usually bring it to a higher level.
Right.
So that's sponsorship. Then on the other side, we have the film grant. So, like Trish mm-hmm. is sponsored by it. So the fun is when she gets a donation. She's running a full page yeah. ad in the LA Times to promote.
Wow.
So look for that soon.
I will.
All right. Wow. ABC's book banned.
Okay.
And then we have a mm-hmm. wonderful man, Lorenzo Di Stefano.
Okay.
Brilliant. He's a writer, director, producer. Mm-hmm. He not only writes screenplays, he writes books. He writes theater plays. He's produced theater. And so he applied for our grant for something called Stairway to the Stars. Mm-hmm. And Carol Joyce came flying upstairs saying, look at this.
This one has to win. And so he just said, I'm making you an executive producer. And I thought, oh, that's nice. And I didn't realize all the work.
What that meant.
That means you have to do this and this and this and this. But I did. I jumped in with all feet. And so Lorenzo produced this, edited, directed it, and wrote it. And one of the reasons it works so well and such, so funny and so clear is that he actually wrote the 26-minute screenplay, uh-huh. but they made a play out about it.
Wow.
So that he got to watch it over and over and over, and where people laughed and where people didn't laugh, and mm-hmm. just tweak and wow. tweak and tweak. So it's a story mm-hmm. about two people that walk up a flight of stairs. Okay. And it's all about the fact that it's a large flight of stairs, so it's mm-hmm. almost like, you know, it's like a half an hour walk up a hill.
Oh, straight up the hill.
Straight up the hill.
In Hollywood Hills.
Okay. And they're complaining, like, I don't uh-huh. want to be like, no, you have to or you're going to die if you don't exercise. It. Uh-huh. It's quite fun. But
he got two A-list actors.
Yes. So this is the key part about it, is that we awarded him the winner of the short film grant.
Okay.
It was during COVID. And
okay.
We were one of the only nonprofits that did not shut down during COVID.
Wow.
Major nonprofit shut down. So we really did a lot of sacrificing mm-hmm. and we just said, nope, we're going to stay open. And we cut down and we moved and
you
stayed open.
You figured it out and you plowed through it.
We plowed through it. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to reach out to the actress Sean Young,
mm-hmm.
very big actress. And we asked her if she would help our, you know, little filmmakers here and get back into the movie industry because COVID, you know, stopped everything.
Yeah.
So we got everybody up and she agreed to do it. Yes. And she came to support us and support, Lorenzo and filmmakers and short films and art. And she actually made herself for us look mm-hmm. 15 years older.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was terrible because in the little short film, she goes back and they say, well, look how beautiful you were and look at you now. You know? And it's so funny. We had to like uh-huh. age her and, but she went into the character. She did it.
What a good sport.
And she's already won awards. beautiful. Like, she won the Ethos Film Award for acting, and to let go of her ego and to, you know, nurture and support us filmmakers by moving into this character. And so she's out of 10 festivals that have been applied for, seven have won, seven out of 10. So she's being honored in the Atlanta Film Festival right now. And so we also got another actor that came out, and his name is Quentin Aaron.
Okay.
So he was the actor of...
The Blind Side,
yes.
Okay.
And so he was the contrast between her, so they were like good friends that lived in the same apartment building, and he was kind of pulling her out to get her
to exercise. She didn't want to exercise.
Wow.
So he's making her walk up the stairs, these endless stairs, and she's saying, I can't do this. He said, oh, yes, you can. We're going to get some exercise here. And all the time, he's loving and supporting her, and she's complaining. But it worked. And they finally made it to the top, and he had his Cadillac convertible waiting to whisk her away with the music of Stairway to the Stars.
Okay.
And it's a little bit of a nod, you know, to people that work in the industry and how much they love the industry and in Hollywood.
Okay, because they were both in the film industry, right?
Yeah.
Two, and he overheard this conversation when Lorenzo, 20 years ago, he lived in the hills. And he heard these two people walking up the stairs, and he ran and wrote down their conversation.
Really?
And so he lived in Hawaii for a while. He came back over. He loves Ventura, so this is where he lives. And he decided to write this script, and we loved it. And now, of course, we've been his sponsor. We had sponsored him before on another film he made about a blind pianist who lives up here in our area.
Wow.
So he's a Ventura resident, and he is a highly talented man. So we're very honored that we got to work
exciting.
With him on
so
that.
When he made the... Did you say it was a play first?
Yes.
Who were the actors in that play?
Was in Hawaii.
It was?
Just kind of...
Okay. Locals acting, there local that he used. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It. Yeah.
So we're going to switch gears and go to a very important documentary that Kelly Galeano, Galindo, she's an actress, writer, producer. She is the teacher at Chapin University, and she teaches film and media arts, so she really knows her skills.
Yes.
So she took it on herself. She's very concerned with human trafficking, particularly the women. She's been documenting the women who have been trafficked and then rehabilitated. So she went around the world practically filming, but right now she's really focusing on she has this as a multi-part documentary, but she has one film out now that is completed, and it was picked up by Epic TV. They love it. They call it a powerful documentary to a broad, diverse audience because it's raising awareness of urgent issues. And Kelly was very smart to help raise money. She took a lot of her footage and put it into short films.
Okay.
So, example, she did a short film that had a stewardess teaching us how to recognize children who've been kidnapped.
Really?
And how they act, what they might be saying or doing or acting, and what you do and how you report it.
Because
isn't that phenomenal?
Yeah. Because Randy knows
I was a flight attendant most of my life.
Oh my gosh.
Randy's been everywhere. You know that song? Yeah. I've been everywhere.
You literally
have. And now I'm in Ventura.
Have you ever found that? That you've seen something weird on the flights?
Do you know, I'll be honest, we didn't have the awareness. I retired 22 years ago.
Okay.
And we didn't have the awareness then of child trafficking.
Okay.
So I wouldn't actually know. I need to see this movie.
Yeah.
Because I still travel a lot. And to be able to recognize a possibility of a child being taken from where they shouldn't have been taken, that would be good to watch.
Right. Yes, it was. And what she's done is partnered with retired policemen.
Okay.
mostly Christian men who are appalled with what's happening right here in America with human trafficking.
I actually have a walk scheduled next week with someone that she runs a nonprofit here, Lotus. Oh, gosh, I'll look up the name. It's actually for next week, and this is what she focuses on.
Well,
human trafficking and children.
Remind me what it's called.
26 seconds.
26 seconds.
Uh-huh. Every 26 seconds, someone is kidnapped into slavery, sex trafficking.
Gosh. Wow.
It's making more money than drugs. That's what a border guard said in Texas, that the trafficking is making more money than...
Ugh, that is appalling.
Right. So we're very proud of Kelly.
Yes, and yes. So she does short films.
She did a bunch of short films to fund the big film.
I got you.
So what she made and sold to Epic TV, but it's non-restricted, so she can sell it again.
Fantastic.
And she's doing screenings. Mm-hmm. And so anyone that would like to see her work, mm-hmm. she will let you screen it for a fee.
And perfect.
For organizations, because it's really important that people understand what's happening in our own backyard and how precious your children are. And you cannot let them out of your sight. I'd never let go of a child in a grocery store. And looking at her stuff, they're gone in an instant.
That is horrendous.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm a grandma. Mm-hmm. And now my son and his wife are expecting another. But, yeah, it's imperative. And I was that mom to cling tight, you know, to my kids at the grocery store or whatever. And I'm kind of on my son about that, too. Yeah. I mean, he is the same way. But I'm like, don't turn around for 1 second,
you said. It's frightening what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, I would like the audience to know that we have... Mm-hmm. We have five grants a year that we give.
Yeah.
The first one that starts the year off is a spring grant.
Okay.
And that is closing March the 30th. No, that is March the 31st.
So there's still time for people to put their...
Yes.
Okay.
And that is for documentaries, short or long, short films, and feature films.
Great.
Then we have the next one is the short film grant that Lorenzo won, and it closes in April 30th. So what you need is to have a story and a crew.
Okay.
If you have a script, you're not ready yet.
Okay.
You've got to be beyond that. You have to have a producer attached or a producer director and some material to raise money.
Great.
And so then our grant is around $20,000 with cash, goods, and services. Because when I started this back in 1992, I woke up one morning with this idea that I should start the Roy Dean Film Grant.
Okay.
You know how you wake up with like a...
I had that. Yes, I've had that.
So I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm not going to go out on the street and start begging for money for filmmakers. I'm not going to do it. So I go to lunch the same day with a gentleman who was doing my marketing and PR for the film company I had. So he just sits down and says, I woke up with something. I thought, what? And
he really did?
He got the same thing. And so I said, I'm not, I can't do that. I've already decided. Gosh. I don't know how. He said, wait a minute. We have a year. He said, you are always being asked for money from filmmakers. Mm-hmm. Yes. I said, some kid wants $3,500. This is 92.
Yeah.
To go live on the Hopi Reservation and make a film. He said, give it to him. That's the start of your grant.
Wow.
So we did.
and what happened with that film?
Bert, he's a big filmmaker now. He went and lived on the reservation. Uh-huh. He got all of this great footage from the Hopi.
Yes.
He goes to an apple farm, has a trailer, edits it, creates a beautiful film, lives on apples. We're all sending him money to eat. He gets the film finished. He said, uh-huh. I don't own this. The Hopi's own it.
Yeah.
He gave it to them.
Oh, I love this.
So
I love this.
What did this cost you? I said. And he said, about $23,000.
Okay.
So he said, but let me tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. He said, I got a job in Atlanta as a cameraman. And they had this new Arri camera I was using. And I kept raving about, my gosh, look what this camera does. Okay. I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the production, they gave me the camera. So what is that worth?
I know.
$23,000.
Look how this is.
Amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
So the universe paid him back.
It did.
And even better than
tenfold
money.
Tenfold. Yeah.
It was his camera that he could make money with.
Yes.
So it's not it's not fishing. It's teaching you how to fish.
Yeah.
You
know,
that story.
That's
so
beautiful.
That was our first film. And this man was so good to me. Mm-hmm. He handheld me through the whole thing. He said, look, you know, Robert Townsend is buying raw stock. He said, go after him. Well, I was remiss at doing that. He said, no, you have to. So I said, Robert, would you help me with the grant? Sure, mm-hmm. he said. So I said, look, we're going to go to the Directors Guild, and we'll have five finalists, and we'll let them pitch their films. And at the same time, the judges will have read all their material, and they can make a quick decision.
Great.
So will you come? I'll send a limo to get you, and I'll do this. And I'll say, yeah, I don't need a limo. I'll drive over there, girl. He's such a nice guy.
Even better.
So he and Ed Asner helped us, and I said, well, look, you don't have to be there till almost the end. He said, no, I'm going to be. He's the first one there.
Oh, my God.
He was there.
And Corey Feldman?
And Corey Feldman helped us, and so we got started that way.
Stop.
And then the last time we had an event, we did it at Raleigh Studios.
Okay.
They were very good to us. That now really is taken over by Netflix, gone. But at that time, Raleigh gave us a huge 180-seat room, and we filled it with filmmakers, and we chose the winner. Uh-huh. And then Carol and I looked at how much money we spent. We said, you know what? We're not going to do this again.
Yeah.
This is too much money. That's another grant.
Okay.
So we don't do all this show-off stuff. We just say, send us your materials.
Yeah.
And we call and talk to some people to make sure we understand who they are and what they want. And we give them the awards with a plaque. And that's all we do. We're not spending money on all the other glamour stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was popular in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Right, right.
Because right now it's show me the money.
Yep, and just put it where it needs to be so we can get these things done.
That's like it, finding the right...
The right film.
And you should be here when we're trying to decide. It's different.
This is so cool.
But also about spending the money. You know, I said to Carol, Carol, why don't you have a... That's Carol's office, as you can see.
Yeah.
And I said, Carol, why don't you have an office like you used to? And Carol said, I would rather give my filmmakers
the money
that I would spend a gift to the landlord for the rent.
Yeah.
And I
so
think that's truly, truly
it's
committed.
True. It's true.
Truly committed.
Your heart.
So
is in the right place.
We just love, Carol and I love what we do. Now, the interesting thing about the grant is that there are so many people who apply, and we offer, I think we're one of the few grants that we offer a free consultation.
Yeah.
So even if you don't win, you get to talk to Carol Joyce.
Yeah.
She gives you 15 to 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it takes.
That's invaluable.
To tell you what you need to improve or where to look for money or both.
Yeah.
Wow. And we answer the phone. So if you call the
meeting,
A real human. And we pride ourselves to be, you know, customer service. So our number is 805-984-0098. So we're local. Just pick up the phone and we'll tell you what we do. We'll talk to you and we'll be happy to receive your call.
And you guys are, on my guest page on my website, I put your information and link to your website.
Oh, thank you.
If that's cool with you guys. Yeah.
Well, it would be so wonderful to meet more local filmmakers.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do this. Let's get the word out. I'm just blown away by what you're doing. I love that you intermeshed God. I love that you intermeshed the astrology. You're beautiful humans. I mean, not only on the inside, but the outside as well. And that you're right here and your hearts are to give back like this and these films that are being made. I don't know. I'm just really touched right now to be sitting here in your serene space and that you had me in your home. And
Thank you.
Thank you for all you're doing. Yeah.
Your work.
Let's keep spreading the word. I know, right? That's what I try to tell my daughter. So she's in school right here in Santa Barbara, first year. And I'm like, Molly, if you can find a career that you love and make money doing that, do that. Mm-hmm. My podcast isn't generating a penny, but that's not what it's about. Like for me, in my journey right now, almost 52 years old, it's not to bring in a dime from this, but it's to connect humans however we can. I feel like that's more important because I don't need to generate the funds on this end. Let's just keep giving back and let's see what the universe provides for us.
Yes.
But for her being 18, I want her to study something that she'll find passion in, that she'll be able to generate her own living. Yes. Doing what she loves, like you said.
And she'll never work a day in her life.
Right. Because she's going to be doing what she loves.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I don't want her to fall into like the girl, the strip club girl. Mm-hmm. I don't want her to fall into the things where she doesn't need to be. You know, I want her light to shine where it is, where God wants her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. I never have to work a day in her life because she'll be doing what she loves.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks, ladies. Thanks for having me here.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me help spread this, not just through Ventura, but I'm sure there's other listeners. Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. That's so much fun. Thank you.